Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I mean, I love letting Clay do that. I have a lot of confidence in Clay, but it was one of the more boring things for me personally. That was like my first game in 16 years, not calling plays. I didn't really know what to do with my hands. I got to throw a red flag. I was excited about that. Called a timeout, I think a couple of them, but it is a little different.
Hey, yo, it's Lucy, man. You listening to the 95.7 The Game, The Morning Roast with Bonte and Shasky. Oh, baby.
That's Shanahan right there. The Niners played Saturday in the afternoon here in the Bay Area, but it was in the evening in Tennessee. Turf field for Tennessee. When did they go turf?
A couple years ago. Well, that might have been the shortest break we've ever had. Back at 7:15. Short break today? We're not selling?
Well, we hit that break a little early, too.
No, we hit it at 7:11.
It's like 7:10, 30 seconds. Splitting hairs. What are you saying there, Shasky?
Well, anyway, getting back to Shanahan. First time he hasn't called a game in 16 years.
Yeah.
It's pretty interesting. And yeah. I was thinking about, like, you know, part of what makes so there's like a variety of different coaches in the NFL right now. There's the play calling offensive guru, which is what everybody wants, the Andy Reid style, right? Like that's the predominant one that everyone's looking for, the Sean McVay, the Kyle Shanahan, etc. Then there's the defensive play calling guy, and then there's the, I call it the CEO head coach, like Harbaugh. Both of them are CEO head coaches. They don't really call plays. They just build great staffs. Tomlin is more of like a CEO style head coach. And it's just interesting that this team is so Kyle Shanahan driven that it's the first time in like that he's ever not called plays, and he didn't even really know what to do with himself. I find that to be a little interesting. It's not the end of the world.
And give it Clint Kubiak a shot to do it, because obviously he's grooming him to be an OC somewhere or a head coach. Remember, he was getting interviews this past offseason, so giving him a shot. I was interested after the game. That was the most interesting thing in the second half to me. It's like, what is Shanahan going to say about that? Is he giving up play calling duties? Nah, he's not. He's not.
You think he'd give it? He's a control freak.
No, he's not giving up play calling
duties. He's not giving that up. Now, I would say I could trust Kyle Shanahan on the sidelines.
Possibly.
To your boy Sean McVay. I watched a lot of football this weekend. I know. I'm a sick individual. Yesterday, I was on the couch, and I had the Giants game on, and then I had the iPad, and I had the NFL Network going on, and the NFL app, and I went through all these different games, and I stumble upon Rams-Cowboys.
Well, it's on NFL Network.
Had a really good. Well,
I didn't watch
years.
It on that.
Yeah, no,
I watched the Rams feed.
Oh, yeah.
So it was the Rams feed. And so it was JB Long.
Well,
and
they had that on NFL Network.
Oh, I didn't know that. I just watched broadcast. It on the NFL.
Yeah. No, it was on NFL Network.
So
1:30
McVay was doing coaches camp, and it was multiple drives.
Right.
And it's McVay on the sideline talking during the game as the action's going on. And look, B, I know you've been on all over McVay. I got to say, as much as it pains me to admit, I actually really like McVay. No, I really do. He's just a football guy. He's just obsessed with football. He just loves football. And he's like, what is Mike McCarthy going to dial up right here? What's he going to do? You got to get a tackle. You got to get Trey Lance. Tackle him.
I can't help myself with this one.
I'm not going to lie. I'm coming around on him.
No. Let me, as everybody, download the free Odyssey app and listen to 95.7 The Game wherever you go. Catch all the live games on the app, along with all the music and news the Bay Area needs to. Catch amazing interviews you missed, like when Aldo Smith joined Willard and Dibbs this past Friday. You always see the light. It takes you a while to get through the forest. You have to get through the trees. Sometimes you get stuck with the trees. And I'm like your Yoda. I'm like your Yoda. At the end of the light, I'm just sitting there saying, hey, Shasky, it's not that I told you so, but it's like, welcome to my world, Will McVay. It just takes you a while to see things. You get blinded by the hate when it comes to McVay.
Well, let's go in another direction.
McVay is so buttoned up when it comes to that. Now, Stetson Bennett, I don't know what he's going to do with that. Maybe Jim Garoppolo will make that football team after all.
Stetson Bennett
looked awful.
He wasn't. He was atrocious. He should have thrown 7 or 8 interceptions.
What do you think of Trey Lance? He still holds the ball up a little too much. He's scared to go downfield.
I think Trey Lance looked like a guy who hasn't played a lot of football.
Yeah, exactly.
He looked very frenetic. I think he has to see it before he can throw it open.
Yeah, he gets a little skittish.
The anticipation throws, I think that he has a long way to go. I'm in and out. Like, he showed glimpses. Now, other rookie quarterbacks, J.J. McCarthy looked skittish. I thought that, boy, Caleb looked special.
Oh, Caleb will be special.
Right, Caleb didn't look good. He looked special. And I don't know Mahomes. I saw a lot of like Kyler.
Yeah.
He looked like Kyler, like a thicker, bigger Kyler. He was just slinging it, the movement, some of the arm talent. I mean, his arm is dynamic. Listen, how about the flip play?
Oh, the flip play on the screen pass to DeAndre Swift for a big gain. You're not the only one who watched a lot of preseason football, Shasky.
Jaden Daniels,
I thought looked good against the Jets in that first drive.
Very accurate.
Dude, the deep ball on the right sideline was special.
He's thin, though, and they play with their starters.
He's very, very thin, so I would be careful on running him. But he did run for the touchdown there at the goal line, four yards out.
That was a nice play.
He's got a lot of speed. I think he knows how to take care of his body. He is thin, so you got to worry about the injuries, no doubt. How much hits, how much punishment can he take? That'll be something to see there. The Patriots game was rained out. We saw that on Thursday.
Melton
was okay.
But he's playing against
no doubt.
Guys that aren't going to be in the league.
Bo Nix. What do you think of Bo Nix? Because they were on in the morning. Broncos, Colts.
I think Bo Nix will be, fine this year. I don't think he's going to be special.
I think he's going to start. He's going to start the preseason game next week for them.
I mean,
They got Jarrett Stidham.
Yeah,
and they
I was
going to
say, they don't have
Zach Wilson.
Good options. do New England, for example. They played Drake May 3 snaps.
Right.
Or 3 passes, I guess I would say. What are you doing? Like, the kid needs to play.
Oh, he needs to play.
He needs the reps, right? Like, if there's one thing that I've learned about, talking about the Trey Lance thing, when it comes to Brock Purdy, like, playing 3 and 4 years in college really, really benefits you when you get to the NFL. And then taking as many reps as you possibly can really benefits you. Now, some guys just aren't good. Stetson Bennett played a lot of football. I just don't think he's very good.
No, he just doesn't have the size. It's the reason why he was 25 years old playing college football.
You know? I'm watching Bailey Zappi play so much for New England. I'm like, what are you trying to accomplish? Trading him?
What about Michael Penix Jr. Friday night down in Miami? You see the deep balls he was throwing?
I like Penix to begin with.
Listen.
I liked him to begin with.
Penix. Kirk Cousins will not be in Atlanta next season.
I think the Raiders botched not moving up to go get him.
Yeah, they got Brock Bowers, which ain't bad, but I think the Raiders botched two things. Hey, Raider fan, if you want to hate me, hate me. But Antonio Pierce has called out timeouts at the end of the game. Listen, Jim Harbaugh was right there for the taking. Now, I don't know if Jim Harbaugh would have loved Las Vegas.
He's miserable.
If he wanted to go to Las Vegas. But this screams Mike Singletary 2.0 all over again. It's only you could smoke all the cigars you want to in the locker room. You didn't make the playoffs, okay? Now the expectations are a little higher. Brock Bowers is going to be a good player. Meyer's going to be a good player. But I just thought Jim Harbaugh with the Raiders just made too much damn sense. And I don't even like Jim Harbaugh with the Chargers. It's just a weird fit. Weird. Jim Harbaugh, Chargers head coach? I thought the Raiders should have went after Jim Harbaugh a little harder. And they stayed in-house. I think that's gonna bite them. And then the Michael Penix move, you're right. I think he's starting in Atlanta. He may be starting by midseason.
I mean, Kirk's going to be on the way out the door. And that's the way I'm viewing it. So there's a lot of football that's going on right now. I know it's preseason. You don't want to lose your mind.
You don't want to lose your mind.
But I would say this. Like, just look around the league. There's no team with more injuries and more drama than the 49ers.
Not even close.
I mean, they are. Everywhere I go, when I run into people who are fans of other teams, you know what's the first thing they say? What the hell is going on with the Niners?
Well, real quick. Two things here before we move on to the Niners. The Bears. You're liking the Bears, huh? Caleb set up for six. He's a rookie.
I mean, I'm trying to temper my expectations.
Right, no doubt.
You know I love Caleb. You asked me last year, like, would you trade Caleb for Brock Purdy or the opportunity? And, like, as much as I love Caleb, just because you don't, there's the unknown, right, when you take somebody. Like,
you trade Brock Purdy for Caleb.
I probably would.
You would. There's no problem into
that. And it sounds absurd.
No, it's not absurd.
Because Caleb is really good.
Caleb is a special, special talent.
I mean, his arm is unreal.
My biggest problem with Caleb was that we were so quick to compare him to Mahomes. It's like, let him get through his college days first. Because the first game, listen.
But the throw he makes, like, okay, for the rollout. He does a play-action rollout, and Caleb is throwing across his body 40 yards down the field. It's a freaking frozen rope to Cole Kmet.
The most impressive throw I've ever seen Caleb make was one of the first throws I've ever seen Caleb make. That Red River shootout, when Spencer Rattler got his job taken and he had to leave Oklahoma, he threw a pass to the right pylon. And I said, how the hell did he do that? and then I started thinking, I'm watching Texas and I'm watching Oklahoma, Texas, and I'm thinking to myself, why the hell did we not hear about Caleb Williams? Like, we know about Spencer Rattler. Who's this Caleb Williams guy? And he took the job. And so now he's got Keenan Allen, DJ Moore, Cole Kmet, Roma Dunze, DeAndre Swift. They're going to be a problem,
and
man.
And their coach has a makeover.
And their coach has a makeover with the beard. And they've got a hell of a good defense. Look out for the Chicago Bears. I'm not saying they're going to the Super Bowl or whatnot. Well, it's going to be a problem.
And your boy Spencer Rattler looked good yesterday.
With the Saints?
Yeah, he did look bad.
I wanted to see the scrimmages with him. We'll see him next Sunday at Levi's Stadium.
I did too.
So we get to the 49ers because Caleb Williams looked impressive. Trey Lance got a lot of work to do. Holds onto the ball way too long. Scared to go down the field. He does still have the running ability. He needs to play. He looks slimmer, too.
Yeah,
he looks slimmer. I don't know if it was a Cowboy uniform, but he looked a bit slimmer.
I actually like Mike McCarthy's offense. I know a lot of people think, one of the people. In a playoff game, I don't love McCarthy. But regular season, he's going to win you 11, 12 games. He just is. He's a solid coach. He does dumb things in the playoffs. Dallas has a roster, but they're in the similar situation to the Niners. What is going on with CeeDee Lamb?
I don't know. The Cowboys, I got to look at their schedule because I don't like the Cowboys. Jerry Jones tried to walk it back yesterday, said, no, we need CeeDee Lamb.
They do.
But last week it was like, oh, there's no urgency there. Really? And then CeeDee Lamb, LOL, the tweet was like, oh, really? There's no urgency? Please, go ahead and step on the field in week one without me and see what happens.
Who do you think is waiting for, like, because that's part of this. You have the Ja'Marr Chase element.
Yeah.
You have the, because he's holding out, essentially, in Cincinnati. Yep. You have the situation that's going on in Dallas with CeeDee Lamb. And then you have what's going on with Brandon Ayuk here. Who do you think cracks first here?
Well, I think Ayuk cracks first, whether it's with the Steelers or the Niners. And I think CeeDee Lamb and Ja'Marr Chase are waiting on that. Because they're thinking, there's no way you could pay Brandon Ayuk more money than me.
Considering
Ja'Marr Chase, what they've done, the totality of their career so far, who's the better player? Ja'Marr Chase is a game changer. We'll all take Ja'Marr Chase. And you know how much we love CeeDee Lamb. I mean, that draft when CeeDee Lamb came out, he dropped to 17 to the Dallas Cowboys. I'm thinking to myself, 17? 17? CeeDee Lamb? This guy played with three different quarterbacks in Oklahoma, still balled out. So I think he's waiting on that money. But what to do with Brandon Ayuk? Apparently Friday they all came to the table. They all had a meeting, hashed everything out. Are we really going to try to lose Brandon? Because I'm not in the camp of losing Ayuk. Not with the injuries that they have. Again, the Niners have 23 players missing practice. They got so many guys on the sidelines in red uniforms or in medical tent uniforms that they had to cancel their scrimmage this week against the New Orleans Saints down in Irvine, California. So they're not even going to have a scrimmage this year, which I think is going to hurt the 49ers. Not getting that extra work, getting those extra reps, because you're not going to play all your guys in the preseason. So you're already behind the eight ball. Ricky Pearsall hasn't been able to stay on the field. Jake Calvin hasn't been able to step on the football field. Isaac Arendo, we saw on the first day of training camp, basically pop his hamstring. He hasn't been seen since, Shasky. I don't know where the Niners are at when it comes to Brandon Ayuk and these negotiations, but damn it, if it's over $2 million, get the damn deal done and let's go. I don't want to lose Ayuk. I don't think they want to lose Ayuk, and I don't think Ayuk wants to leave.
I'm looking at the wide receiver room right now. And I'm going to put Ayuk to the side, okay? This would be your wide receiver room, essentially. Debo, Juwan Jennings. I'm going to say Chris Conley. I think he makes the team. Would you agree with me because of the special teams factor?
Who's that?
Debo, Juwan Jennings, and Chris Conley makes the team because he's a special teamer. Right? Okay. Correct. Pearsall will make the team because he's a first rounder and a rookie. Four. That's four guys. This is without Ayuk. Then it's 5, 6, 7. Cowan, I don't know. Tay Martin, I don't know. Trent Taylor, I don't know. I will throw Danny Gray in there. I think he's done. I think Danny Gray didn't suit up this weekend. I just don't see it.
He's done.
He makes this team. So he's on the outside looking in. So do you feel good about this Niner wide receiver? I think they're nice.
You're forgetting about Robbie Chosen. Robbie Anderson, who signed with the 49ers on Friday. His last name is now Chosen.
Okay.
He changed his last name to Chosen.
Robbie Anderson. Okay. Robbie Chosen.
I think it's just a training camp body.
Okay. Well, that's okay. The nine guys. Like, if I put Ayuk in the mix, you feel way better.
Oh, no question.
Because right now, I don't know with Pearsall. I don't know with Cowan. I don't know with Taylor. I don't know with Martin. Danny Gray, I'm just going to say he's on the way out the door. Hey, Robbie Anderson? I mean, come on.
Now, I got to say, there's a lot of leaks going on. And again, we touched on this a little bit last week. We didn't get a lot of legs to it. But the last few years of Jim Harbaugh, it was leaks galore. And maybe this is the business of having a good team. But you don't hear a lot of leaks that coming out of Kansas City about what's going on in that locker room. They keep things pretty tight, right? The Rams, they keep things pretty tight. The Eagles, now we got the story after the season. There's obviously some dysfunction there, and they wrote a lot about that.
Can I pause you on the Rams just for a second? McVay did flirt with retirement and television.
After the season.
And so did Aaron Donald before he eventually did. But not to this degree.
Not to this degree.
When they traded Jared Goff, it was like, boom, we're trading Jared Goff and we're getting
Stafford. They know how to limit the noise. They don't let the noise blow over. There's a lot of noise going on with the 49ers, and there's a lot of leaks going on. And now you commented on our boy Brad Graham's SF Niners account saying there's only two options. The Niners are in the media every day. There's only two options, and they know what those options are. And the leak that went on over the weekend, which, again, got fans gassed up. And I don't like it. I don't like it. To go out there, and Mayoko wrote this, which I do think it's credible. However, I do kind of sit back and say, boy, are the Niners trying to use Mayoko? Are they trying to use Michael Silver to get their message out there? So the report came, and he wrote it Friday, that the Niners had a deal with the Cleveland Browns to get a second round pick, a fifth round pick, and Amari Cooper back for Brandon Ayuk, which sounds like a home run. That sounds like, boy, they're going to get over the Cleveland Browns. I don't know how much I believe that. And I'm not saying that Mayoko's a liar. I'm not saying that his report is incredible. But I feel like the Niners are putting things out there. Like, are the Browns really? After we talked to Anthony Lima, and we've heard everything from the Cleveland side of things, do you really believe the Browns are ready to give up a second, a fifth, and Amari Cooper for Brandon Ayuk? And then you get Amari Cooper, who puts on Instagram over the weekend, on his IG, he goes, LOL, I wouldn't mind at all. So he knows, oh, I go with Shanahan, I'm going to ball out. I wouldn't mind at all.
Look, could the Browns be offering that? Yes, and why do I think that? Because they're the Browns, and because they're the one team that, I mean, if you just look at their history, Baker Mayfield took them to the playoffs for the first time in forever, won a playoff game against the Steelers, and they couldn't wait to get rid of him. Played hurt for them, and they couldn't wait to get rid of him. Then they traded one of the wildest trades. Like, everyone who, even if you were in on Deshaun Watson, during the time when they made that trade, you had to be like, yeah, this is a bold trade. A million first-round picks, and you gave him a ton of guaranteed money. So if there was one team that was going to give some outrageous package, it would be the Browns.
Now, I hear that.
Whether that's fair or not, that's just my mind is like, yeah, I could see the Browns doing that. And if that is the case and that deal is on the table, I'm actually now questioning why the Niners aren't doing that deal.
Right. Well, because Ayuk, because
it resolves the situation.
Yeah, well, the Browns want to know. And I would just trade him and be like, hey, he's your problem now. You have to re-sign him.
But why would
and
if the Browns he execute yeah, they're the not deal execute if they don't deal. Know on the front
exactly.
end?
Exactly. Well, so Brendan Ayuk said, he basically vetoed that deal. He's like, yeah, I'm not going to Cleveland. I'm not playing for the Cleveland Browns. So that's why the Browns haven't done it. But apparently that was on the table. I'm thinking to myself, damn, that's a big-ass package for Brendan Ayuk. Amari Cooper, a second and a fifth for this 1 year? Oh, I'd do that in a heartbeat. And have Cooper and Deebo Samuel? Now, I don't think Amari Cooper's Brendan Ayuk. I think Brendan Ayuk's the better player. But it ain't a big drop-off when it comes to Amari Cooper. His route running, his deep ball ability. So that was reported on Friday. So where are we at today? Like this thing keeps lingering and lingering and lingering, and it's getting louder and louder and louder. And now you're going to have a lot of disgruntled people here in a second.
There's no doubt. And the other thing I keep coming back to is, like, not only does he have to get acclimated, and I know he knows the playbook and he knows property, but you still got to get him up and running for your team. That's number one. And any team that you could conceivably trade him to, each day that you get closer to week one, you're kind of only making the situation more difficult for yourself.
No doubt.
Right? Because he's going to have to assimilate himself to the playbook, to the quarterback, to the situation. Like, so I feel like both parties, Ayuk and the Niners, are losing kind of, like, not just leverage, but, like, you're losing the ability to be effective week one, like, every day that goes by.
Yeah, every day that goes by, you're losing a day against Sauce Gardner and that New York Jets defense.
Exactly.
And also, you got to pass a physical. Got to get on the football field. Once you get on the football field, you're not going to be in full pads right away. It's going to take you a couple days to get in full pads. Then you got to get in football shape, and you got to work muscles that you haven't worked without the shoulder pads and the equipment and all that stuff. And so, yeah, it's going to be a process. He may not be ready to go until the next week of preseason or the next week of training camp or whatnot. So I don't know where we're at in this situation, but it's obvious that they're running out of bodies. And his training camp is off to a disaster.
Well, and then,
it's a disastrous training camp right now for the 49ers, and I think it's safe to say this is not what you wanted coming off a Super Bowl loss to the Kansas City Chiefs. You wanted to be up and running and humming, and instead it's the complete opposite.
I thought last year was kind of a nightmare. You had the quarterback coming back from crazy elbow injury, right? We didn't even know if he'd be ready, right? Just didn't know. You had the backup quarterback situation, I'll just say. You had Nick Bosa holding out. But you had a lot of healthy bodies, and everyone was ready to go. Outside of QB1, which is the most important, and Bosa. This year, left tackle out. McCaffrey, best player on the team, has a calf injury. You don't have your number one or number two wide receiver, depending on who you talk to. The rest of the DNs don't look good.
They don't.
You know, right now. There's a lot of unknown. Dre Greenlaw out. Right. Yep. So, yeah, there's a lot. And you're mixing in another new defensive coordinator like you were last year. So,
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection, that combines Gel Flex Grid with coil. oils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
This isn't good. This isn't good.
The vibes are off right now. There's no doubt the vibes are off. And we'll talk to Vernon Glenn at 8 o'clock, KPIX Channel 5. He'll join us at 5 because he was in Nashville, Tennessee, and we'll ask him about the vibes, what he's felt around him. Channel 5 sports anchor, of course. He was on the sidelines with Lone Neal Saturday night in Nashville, Tennessee. We'll ask him about the vibes of this football team and what the hell is going on with this football team. Big Trent, we've heard nothing from. Look, Trent doesn't want to practice, come to camp. That's fine. But you want to hold out for new buddy, just to be known as the highest paid left tackle in football. And you came off and you had that Super Bowl performance. It kind of makes me, like, we've given Ayuk all the heat in the world. Trent, I'm looking at Trent. I get where Ayuk's coming from. I get it. You don't want to step on the field before that fifth-year contract. You want to say, I want my new deal now. I get it. It's the price to do a business. All these other guys are doing it. That's what you want to do. I understand the business side, and I understand why the Niners have been hesitant to re-up with Brandon Ayuk. I understand both sides of the equation. But Trent Williams?
My empathy level is zero.
Trent Williams?
Like
the audacity to stay your ass and sit your ass on the couch in East Texas and say that I want to be the highest paid left tackle just because all these other guys got new money? You're pocket watching like a kangaroo, dude. And you came off that Super Bowl performance where it was a piss poor performance. Let's just be honest.
It's
a piss
poor.
It's not like this guy hasn't gotten like. So I'm a big believer in like, where are you at in your career, right? Brandon Ayuk is looking for his first mega payday.
Big payday.
All right. So I understand the sense of urgency. I really do. Come on, Trent. You've been handsomely paid multiple times, all right? And here's the part that really bugs me more than anything. I have zero empathy for him right now. You're missing out deliberately, and you've missed out now on $1.7 million because he's missed out on $700,000 because of the practice fines, and then he missed a game check because of if you hold out and you're not at a preseason game, they take away one of your game checks. So I know they're going to make it up to him.
Yeah, they're going to make it up to him. He's not going to miss that,
honestly,
buddy.
But honestly, I don't have empathy for him. I don't. Like, he wants to get paid. Great. Fantastic. You've been paid multiple times. Come on, man. Yeah. Come on, man. You're in either the last year or the second to last year. Like, do you want to play football or not?
Yeah, well, he's flirted with retirement over and over. You want to talk about flirting with retirement. I mean, he may not play next year. If he won a Super Bowl, you may not even play next year. So now you got to stick us with guaranteed money. Like, Trent can play. Trent's still playing at a very high level. Nobody's saying that. We don't need Trent Williams. You do need Trent Williams. You need him at left tackle. You need him bad at left tackle. Without him at left tackle, this offense is not averaging 29 points a game. I can promise you that.
Did you see who didn't play?
Jaylon Moore.
Yeah, he had a mask on. Apparently he was sick. And
that's not good for him.
No, because I wanted to see if he can actually play or not.
Yeah, no, that's not good for him. Chris Hubbard was playing left tackle.
Exactly.
So, and he's a young man out of Tennessee. So, listen, we need Trent. He knows it. Everybody knows it. You need Trent. They'll make up the $1.7 million in fines, and he'll get his money. But the audacity to do that after showing up to OTAs and minicamp and then, he's not here first camp. And the Niners saying that, we knew this was going to happen. We've been negotiating. Well, it's August 12th. Training camp started, July 24th?
Mm-hmm.
July 25th?
He's
whatever the hell it
13
was?
13 days of practice.
I mean, so you guys said you were working on it. What's the hold up?
I don't know.
Is it Brandon Ayuk? What the hell is the hold up with Trent Williams?
I don't know.
So I'm starting to get a little frustrated here with the way the process is going down with the 49ers.
Well, and because you waited, now Tristan Wirfs just got paid, and I'm sure that the price tag is going up.
Well, Darrisaw's got paid. Sewell got paid. You know, Tristan Wirfs got paid. He's getting 28.1. Like, come on, man. Come on. What are we doing here? But also, just the process of the Brandon Ayuk situation. You misplayed your hand. You flirted with trading Deebo or Ayuk at the draft. You filled the calls on both of them. Now, from what I hear, you got greedy in a conversation thinking that you're going to get multiple first-round picks or high picks, and people are like, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to just draft these young men. Who did Jacksonville draft out of LSU? Not Malik Nabers. He went to New York.
The other guy.
The other guy. And they were like, I sent you guys a video of him at the pro day.
Yeah, Thomas.
Thomas was his name?
Brian Thomas.
Brian Thomas. And they were at the pro day.
He's
they
the
said,
bigger guy.
Executives say, you remind them of Brandon Ayuk. So that was the talk of the town, which is why Jacksonville was in on Brandon Ayuk. Remember that? And then once they got wind, it was like, wait, people compare Brian Thomas to Brandon Ayuk. Well, why not just draft Brian Thomas and pay him way less than what we're going to have to pay Brendan Aiyuk? The whole thing has been a disaster. Disaster. And finally, you don't blow a first-round pick. You get a first-round pick to pop outside of Nick Bosa, and now we're in this situation.
And the guy that you think will replace one of those two players in Debo and Aiyuk can't stay healthy.
But he's left. He's practiced, what, six times?
Who, Pearsall?
Yeah.
Bonte, I've seen more footage of Bigfoot than I've seen of Pearsall in uniform. So I kind of like to see, like, the game we had over the weekend, like, both the, you know, him and Cowan, I needed to see playing that game. Like, I'm going to be real with you. Like, I didn't have Tay Martin on my board until I watched that game. No, I don't know if Tay Martin just stinks it up at practice and what he did in the game was an outlier, because obviously the game and practice is what's going to, you know, sway the coaches. But, like, yeah, he dropped the big ball down the sideline. Tay Martin also made, like, six or seven other really nice plays in this game. I like him. He is now a guy that I think I can trust moving forward. I actually trust him more than Ronnie Bell right now.
Yeah.
It isn't saying much.
Yeah, but, no doubt.
You know, like, I wanted to see Ricky Pearsall play.
No doubt. No doubt. 408. Been listening for 30 minutes. No mention of our boy Curry going God mode. Trust me, we're going to get back to Curry. We spent the first 45 minutes on Stephen Curry, and we will get back to Stephen Curry on this performance Saturday night, but we are talking some football because we had the first preseason in 6-5-0. Bonte, last season you said you skipped preseason. Guess no one can. Well, I watched the games. But I'm, you know, I'm not going to go crazy. Like, when I say skipping preseason in terms of, like, oh my God, they can't run the ball, they can't pass the ball. Got to realize who's out there, the personnel. Got to realize that there's not a big game plan going on in the preseason game. What I'm getting a little annoyed about is the practice. You can't scrimmage the Saints. You can't get the work in that you need against the Saints. These intra-squad scrimmages, which I think the NFL one day may just go to.
I think so, too.
Instead of doing the preseason games, I think you get a lot more work there. First of all, the Niners couldn't do it at their own facilities because they don't have enough space. You don't have enough space at your own facility.
At a brand new facility.
At a brand new facility that's been open for 10 years. And you don't have the space to hold scrimmages at your own facility. Okay, fine. I'm going to look the other way on that one. I'm not going to crack a jokey joke, okay? We're going to move on. Now we're going to book in Irvine, California. So we're going to have all the equipment, get on planes, go down to Irvine, California to scrimmage with the New Orleans Saints, and then fly back to the Bay Area to play the Saints on a Sunday. But nope, can't do that because we don't have enough players on the practice field. Again, this training camp, without all the, like, with the drama and then with the injuries, this is becoming a disaster. This team, I mean, if they had to play the Jets on Monday, did they lose by three touchdowns?
But they don't. We've got another month.
Thank God they don't.
We've got another month.
Thank the heavens they
don't.
4 to 5 weeks. Thank the heavens they don't. September 9th, actually less than a month.
Okay. Let's say the 12th.
Yeah, right. It's less than a month. Right.
28 days.
So less than a month.
27 days.
Less than a month. Robert Saleh and company are getting, well, no, they don't have Hassan Reddick, so they don't have their pass rusher, but still got Big Quinton Williams in the middle.
Yeah, things aren't good right now. I mean, they just aren't. And that's why, you know, thankfully, Purdy's healthy. And, you know, I want to see what he's got going. It sounds like Debo's, for the most part, healthy. Kittle was on the sideline getting interviewed by the broadcast. Feels like he's in a good place physically after an offseason where he was so banged up. I mean, you saw it in the receiver dock in the Super Bowl. I mean, he had to go in and get a shot. Couldn't even lift his arm. And he had a core muscle injury. And so, yeah, they're in a tough spot. This is a team that's been fighting longer into the season for four straight years than anyone in the game. Outside of the Chiefs, no one has gone as far as they have year after year after year after year. And at some point, that does take a toll on you. At some point, you do start to feel it. And now you're talking about reps. I think D. Winters needs as many reps as he can get. I think Malik Mustafa needs as many reps as he can get. Renardo Green needs as many reps as he can get. I still think Colton McKivitz at right tackle needs as many reps as he can get. I think even Brock Purdy, for as much as he's played, he needs all these reps. Dominic Pooney needs reps. J.P. Mason needs reps.
Dude, they got something with Pooney, man. They really do have something with
like
this right guard.
He looks like Iopati out there, doesn't
now,
he?
You got him, and you got Banks on the other side. Jake Brendel at center. I'm sure they're going to look for a center in the future, but you got something in the middle there in an interior where you got to go against Chris Jones and you got to go against, you know, what's our guy in Philadelphia? Jalen Carter. And then who is it? Jordan Davis?
Feliciano and Burford. If they continue to be in and out of the lineup, you're giving this kid the opportunity to show himself. And he looks like a monster.
No doubt. He is a monster. And I'd keep both of them, though. You can never have enough offensive linemen.
I mean,
the depth.
Yeah, I agree with that.
You got to have O-linemen. So it's a good problem to have. But Pudi is running away with the job. But boy, aren't we just all, like, I do have Aiyuk fatigue. I get our fans have Aiyuk fatigue. We have Trent Williams fatigue. But boy, it just feels like if you just get it done, we could all just exhale. Like when the report came out Friday, I got excited. Chaz could say, boy, they're both getting that. They're sitting at the table. They're going to get this done. Let's go. Let's get this guy in the camp. Get him on. Get him in uniform by this week. And no, nothing. Nothing at all.
And if it's over $1 million, $2 million bucks, like,
that's going to piss me off.
Devondre Campbell, he can go. Trent Taylor, he can go. Like, I'll find you the $2 million bucks to make up the difference.
Well, you want to laugh a little bit? Or is this, oh, by the way, we do, should we wait for Spadoni tomorrow for Shaska to pay off his bet?
I think so, yeah.
Wait for Spadoni tomorrow?
We need full house for this. We all need to enjoy this.
We'll give you another day to get your 90-second speech.
I think it's a win for me because both USA teams had to sweat, you know, tooth and claw their way to victories, but that's okay.
You think it's a win?
I do.
They won the games.
I won.
We'll feel like a win tomorrow for 90 seconds, that's for sure.
They didn't lose a game. Shout out to my guy, Steph Curry, for saving your boy. See, that's why it's Chef. That's why we get in the documentary with Steph Curry. He's flying back. He's probably back in the Bay listening right now. It's like, man, my guy's
Bonte Shasky. I was really motivated to hear Shasky's, gassing up back.
You know what it was? It's like, I can't let my guy Bonte lose that bet. I'm going to bring it home for him. I'm not going to let him down. He's been too good to me. Shout out to Steph Curry for that.
You know, there is something to be said, though. There is something to be said. When all of the writers start to, like, gang up on someone, it does feel like there's, like, a code red out there. Were talking about this. Like, with Aiyuk, all of a sudden, code red. It's like, blast him.
With the Clay stuff, right?
Well, Clay is a great example.
It's the playbook. Yeah, I was talking to Dubas about this.
Okay.
It's so typical, the playbook. The playbook is... Okay, let's wait. And then...
Green light.
Like pitbull. Yeah, green light, red light. Simon says, attack!
Exactly. So I saw this with Camilo Duvall on Friday.
Yeah.
Sam, Bonte, I talk about this for what? How many weeks/months have I said? I've been hearing some things about Camilo. And, you know, it's not... And I've been saying, I don't think he's looked good this year. I've been kind of all over it, right? And nothing. Nothing from one other person credible. Friday, he gets demoted to AAA. Camilo Duvall, that is. And all of a sudden, it was like, green light, attack.
Oh.
And it just everyone writers, just piled on to Camilo Duvall.
Writers.
And I'm not saying that they're wrong. But here's my thing. This is where I decide. I go... Well, how come I didn't hear anything before this from anyone? From anyone?
Well,
why didn't anybody have the guts to actually say something?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. But the fact is, he is in AAA, and they'll get him right. He'll be back up.
Yeah, but I thought that everybody jumped on him Friday, which is fine. If you want to jump on him, I get it.
We know the playbook.
But here's my thing. If you've heard things for weeks on end, and you don't have the guts to say it in real time, then what are you doing?
Look, I just look at the dialogue when it comes to Nick Bosa and Brandon Aiyuk. Now, Nick Bosa, we all admit, is the better player, especially at his position.
For sure.
He's the better player. But even myself included was like, just show up 3 days before Pittsburgh and it's all good, right?
I was losing my mind.
No, I know you were losing your mind, but listen, that's how we looked at Nick Bosa. There was not the, hey, he's greedy. Like, when I found out the contract details, and then I talked to somebody, and they said, yo, he stuck us for another $20 million. I was like, whoa, yeah, it sounds like it. And then he goes out there midway through the year, and you start throwing Steve Wilkes under the bus. It's like, all right, that's enough. And nobody called Bosa out on that.
No.
Nobody called Bosa out whatsoever. Because you heard George Kittle, it's what the Bosas do. You know, they kind of hold out. That's what they do. And it's acceptable. It's acceptable for the Bosas to just hold out. And nobody's like, hey, that's cool. It's just the business. It's the business doing, it's the price of doing business with the Bosas.
I thought it was ridiculous.
And now we get to Brandon Aiyuk. And boy, I've never seen so many fans turn on a player so damn quick. It is like, get him. He's pouting. He's immature. He's like all the language. And I say, oh boy, that's a code for something. And so the playbook, Shasky, the playbook is out. It's the same playbook that I see all the time with media members. It only happens to certain players. Players they like. Or players, since Camilo Duvall, he wants to take his time coming out to shower and getting dressed and doesn't want to talk to you when you need him to talk to you, all of a sudden, oh, okay, you know, this guy makes us wait for an hour to talk. Oh, please.
So, but here's what I don't understand. For weeks on end, I was telling you, you know, I'm hearing he's frustrated with his role. I've heard that he's not the greatest teammate. I've heard that, you know, this, that, and the other. And I'm kind of giving you, am I not, Sam? Was I not bringing this up?
No, you've been bringing this up for the better part of the season. So
right,
no,
and on top of that, I've been critical of the way he's pitched,
right,
which I haven't thought he's looked good this year. And I've suggested, like, this is why I would trade him, and this is why I would move him. And then no one said anything. Not one heap of criticism from anyone anywhere. The second he gets demoted, green light, let's blast him.
So, you know, because I've heard some of the similar things you did, and Loveman's touched on it with Camilo Duvall or whatnot, but I feel like it's not my place. It's not my beat when it comes to the Giants. I don't go to enough games to comment on things like that. So it's out there, but I'm not in that position. I'm not gonna. Okay.
But what about those that are?
I'm not. Well, that's on them. That's the way they. Well, we know there's shills out there.
Yeah,
there's shills. We know who they are. They've been identified. They've been exposed, and that's fine. They're gonna have a job for life doing that stuff. That's fine. I mean, you know, if you want to do that, go ahead and do that. But I'm not in a position to be blasting these guys like Nick Bosa, like Brandon Ayuk, like Camilo Duvall for not coming to camp and trying to get your money. Or Camilo Duvall said, hey, I don't really want to, you know, pitch in the seventh, eighth. I heard there was a rumor that he didn't maybe want to pitch in the seventh and eighth innings. And they're like, all right, just go to Sacramento. Well,
I know he doesn't necessarily love coming into close tie games in the ninth inning, right, because closers want to have appearances where they close.
Yeah, no.
Closers don't want to be used in a tie game, non-safe situation, and then be out for a day or two, right? Because save opportunities are few and far between.
For Pro Football Talk, just to make you laugh before the injury.
I love Florio. What's he saying?
We'll get vertically and not coming up.
Give it to me, Florio.
Jimmy Garoppolo says he's fitting right in during his first training camp as a Ram. Garoppolo slated to be Matthew Stafford's backup. And he says Sean McVay and Stafford were the main reasons he wanted to sign with the Rams after the Raiders cut him, and that he thinks he's in the right place now. Garoppolo said, this place allows you to be yourself too, which is different than the other places I've been. You're getting pressed with a sense of urgency, but in a good way. Obviously, everyone wants to win. Everyone wants to perform well. They do it the right way here. They push you positively. There's just a lot of good things going on, man. I'm enjoying every bit of it. Even the meetings are a good time. Everything is going good right now. Garoppolo didn't say which places he's been that he was referring to, but his previous stops were in New England, playing for head coach Bill Belichick, and of course the Niners with Kyle, and Vegas Raiders with Josh McDaniels and Antonio Pierce. Garoppolo said his up-and-down career has weighed on him. It was chaotic at times, Garoppolo said. They're all learning experiences. That's one thing I've taken from this. The NFL is crazy, man. Everyone has got a story. Everyone is going whichever way trying to make it. But at the end of the day, it's your story, and you've got to make the best of it. Good, bad, or indifferent. Whatever happened in the past, it happened. Now I'm here, and I'm just trying to make it every day the best day. Jimmy, Jimmy, Jimmy. Now remember, he's suspended for the first two games of the season. But the fact that he's out here.
What was he taking?
This place allows you to be yourself, which is different than other places I've been to. You think Shanahan read that already?
That 30 for 30 is going to be so good.
Will there be a 30 for 30?
Yeah, the Jimmy era.
Well, you got to win a Super Bowl to get a 30 for 30.
No, you don't.
You can get a little documentary. Not everything could be a 30 for
30.
Four winters of 30 for 30 short.
Well, yeah, what was it called? The Four Winters in Buffalo or something?
Yeah, the Four Winters
falls.
In Buffalo.
Four falls. There you go.
Are the Niners that compelling to have something like that?
I'll tell you, they've been to seven NFC Championship games in 11 years.
I hear you, but, you know.
12 years. Seven!
We got to have some Hall of Famers, too. How many Hall of Famers have we had?
Well, I mean,
because the Buffalo Bills had
Big Trent's going to be a Hall of Famer, and maybe Fred Warner. By the way, you didn't reference all the negatives. You didn't even reference
his foot injury.
There is something going on with the foot with Fred Warner.
Minor injury.
Well, yeah, well, I thought that about Patrick Willis too.
Minor injury. Well, just calm down, calm down, calm down. It's okay. Just calm down. Matthew Judon, the Patriots have made no qualms about expecting linebacker.
I don't know, maybe I'm too worried.
Matthew Judon, I mean, look, he understands he is under contract with Spectrum-Meyer at practice, and it's time for him to play, go out there and play the game. I guess Matthew Judon hasn't done anything with the Patriots as well. So,
to get him.
Be nice. It'd be nice. It'd be nice. But I got some good news for you, Shasky. I got some good news for you.
It's time time for the injury report.
That really hurts.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
You know some good news, Shasky? You want to not be worried?
Okay.
Got some good news on Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, I'd love that.
Detailed his rehab over the weekend and said he and the team were playing it safe with the cane with the strained calf. He mentioned that he is still getting the calf worked out and that he will be ready to roll week one against the Jets. But how about this one, Shasky? He added that if the Niners had a real game this week, he would be good to suit up. Does that make you a little happier? Are you still worried about McCaffrey?
Well, yeah. I mean, this is a guy who, like, health was a problem before he got here.
He just said if they had a game this week, he would be good to suit up. Doesn't that make you feel good?
It makes me feel better.
There you go. Don't be so worried all the time. Don't live life worried.
Right? I am shook.
Live life to the fullest. Live life to the fullest. The injury report brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. What's coming up in the game brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. Vern Glenn, Channel 5 sports anchor, KPIX. He was on the sideline Saturday for the Titans and the Niners. He'll join us to kind of share what he's heard about this 49ers team and the Trent Williams and Brandon Ayuk situation and all that stuff going on. That's all coming up on the Roast.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.